Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. These are our Bad Batch Fridays, in which we discuss every single episode of the third and final season of the Bad Batch, today focusing on episode 12, Joggernaut. But before we get to that, we want to introduce our guest for tonight. Welcome back to the Triad, Cari Guerrero, a.k.a. our Star Wars tía.
Welcome back.
No, muchas gracias por tenerme otra vez. I'm so excited to be back.
Gracias por estar aquí. Such an honor. Thank you. It's one of those things we were talking right before we started recording, that every guest like magically like shows a date that suddenly like the episode had to do with something they like. When we had Claire from Imperial Senate podcast, it was the wolf episode last week. I forgot what it was, but there was also like a coincidence.
And I know, and Katrina Conventress.
Yeah. That was somewhat planned, but yes, we were hedging.
It was
bets.
Still a guest yeah. game.
It was a about guest where, game, and thankfully it worked out.
Gonna show up.
Pero contigo is even more special because this week is the one. It's been 1 year since Star Wars Celebration Europe in London. And for those who may remember, Cari and I hosted like two panels together. We had like our Trial of the Force panel at the Holonet stage. And then afterwards, we had our The Importance of Latinx Representation in Star Wars with a lot of other really cool friends. So it's been already a year from that. Holy crap.
That's crazy.
I remember it was just like we were just starting to pack, you know, the maletas and everything, and I'm like, I want to go back. I mean, hopefully Japan next year. But
exactly. That's what we were talking about. You're planning on going to Tokyo?
I'm definitely trying to. Boy, I'm going to buy the tickets because, you know, it's just good to
just in case.
There.
Yeah.
Just in case. So definitely that's something that I'm going to be planning now. Yeah.
And they're reasonably priced, I think, like based on like previous year.
Because it's only 3 days, so it should be cheaper.
The difficulty is actually getting there.
I always forget. Is it always 4 days?
No sé. California was 4 days because I know they started in that Thursday. They showed the two episodes of Kenobi, I think.
I think Orlando was 4 days too.
I think Chicago was 5 days, actually. I think there was one that was 5 days. So, whatever. I don't know.
So, maybe because it's such, like, a faraway place.
Yeah, offset the cost so that people can get there, be motivated. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be good. It's going to be good. I always wanted to go to Japan.
Oh, for sure. In Japan, there's going to be insane cosplay. For sure.
And not just, I mean, our celebration is cool and all. But I've also heard, I haven't gone to theme parks in years. But allegedly, Japan has some of the best Disney theme parks out of all the theme parks in the world. The Disney Sea or something, I think it's called, supposed to be the best one. So,
and then they have the Mario World, I think, Super Mario
yeah.
World.
Mm-hmm. Nintendo World.
Hello,
know,
Nintendo.
But hello, yes,
yeah.
Well.
Uh-huh.
Plus the food, plus the architecture, plus the culture, like so
the
much.
The culture, the history.
So it's
so
gonna
much
be,
to
it's gonna be, it's gonna be great. So. Mm-hmm. Star Wars Celebration Tokyo 2025, maybe incoming.
Hopefully,
maybe.
We can
maybe.
Afford it.
Llegamos exactly. Los latinos a Japón. Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah,
vamos.
Teach them how to dance salsa. Okay.
Yes.
But anyway, that's a year away. So
yeah.
Before we get to Star Wars Celebration, we have to get through a lot of more Star Wars content. We still have working backwards. We still have a skeleton crew. Before that, we have
the Acolyte,
which was so exciting. Tales of the Empire, but right
Tales
now,
of the Empire. Mm-hmm.
It's the Bad Batch, the final season of the Bad Batch, and we've had such an incredible journey talking to so many amazing friends, and now really blessed to talk to you about it. Today's episode, Joggernaut, which I think might be a little spicy conversation, so before we get into it, Cari... Tell us, how have you felt about Bad Batch Season 3 so far? And what did you think of Joggernaut?
Joggernaut.
Listen, Season 3 has been, I think, probably the most intense season so far. Even though I thought, Season 2 I thought was a little bit crazy because, you know, everything started heating up. But this season, the stakes are so high. you know, with everything going on with the Empire and everything. And it's been a crazy ride for sure. One thing I want to share, I have seen all the episodes up until the last one.
No spoilers.
See. So I'm telling you, it's intense. And then Juggernaut was a complete surprise. I never thought that I was going to see freaking, I don't know, Rampart. Curse, but it's such an asshole Rampart.
Again. Oh, yeah.
I was like, I wanted to punch in my son as I saw him. But, the beard, though, I don't know, there's something. And it, no, we'll get that to later. This episode was, again, very, very, I love that it was so action-packed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last two episodes were a little bit more, you know, a lot of storytelling, a lot of telling us, you know, what's going on at Tantas and everything. And then this one just came back to all the action. And just seeing them planning out all this stuff, like having to come up with, you know, plan A, B, C out of nowhere because everything just went wrong. Oh, my God. I was, la tensión, my blood pressure. With that last episode with Crosshair missing the tracker. I was like, what are they going to do right now? And then Juggernaut comes. I'm like, oh, wow. That was pretty impressive. That was very smart. That was very smart that they were able to come up with a plan like that. So it was really cool. Yeah.
Nani, what did you think? How did Juggernaut impact you?
Well, I'm going to be honest. It's not been my favorite. I do tend to like the most subdued episodes just because I feel like you get so much more storytelling out of it, even though one of the good things out of Star Wars is the action parts as well.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with this one a little bit is what we've talked about before, especially with, you know, sometimes like season one episodes where it'd be like, oh, you have to get to the person that will have the information that you need so you can get to the next step. And then you get that person and they actually don't know it. They're just like an intermediary to the next step. And then sometimes when done correctly, because I was a little upset about it when they did it in the Fennec Shand episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
But since it's Fennec, you know, you kind of forgive it because she's just so awesome. But in this one, since it was Rampart, it was like, meh.
Right.
I don't care about Rampart. I mean, out of all these people that we've been talking about that they've been bringing back this season, it's like, why are you bringing back Rampart? I mean, just this, like, kind of the worst, like, just unimportant villain in some sense, because he was so vanilla to me that when they first mentioned his name, I was like, I recognize that name, but it kind of went over my head because I, like, forgotten about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was definitely a mediocre white man energy.
Yeah, so it was like, you could have used, you know, like a better character to move the story forward, I feel like. And I feel like I would have been more invested in the whole helping him escape and everything. Not to say that there weren't like still awesome moments in the episode that we'll get to, as we always do, and that the action was amazing because Bad Batch keeps getting better and better, and I always appreciate an Indiana Jones callback because it really was very Last Crusade with Tank and the everything and obviously, like you were saying, my blood pressure when we almost lost Wrecker there for a moment, I was like, if we lose Wrecker, I'm done. And so, because at this point we really don't know who's gonna make it, who's not gonna make it, so yeah, it's when one of the Bad Batchers' lives is on the line, it's not okay for my heart. So, and obviously there were some really, really cool scenes with Omega that we'll get to talk to about how, you know, her self-sacrifice and now really getting to understand what's happening in Tantas, because, you know, it was this place of horror originally, but now it's like more dimensions of just absolute horror. When you add the whole vault with the kids, it's just, it's insane. So still a lot to unpack, because the Bat Bash, relatively short, but so much in every episode. What about you, Goose? What did you think?
Okay, you know, one of the reasons I'm very happy to have you, Katie, here is that you can illuminate us with positivity and a perspective that otherwise I might not have about this episode. And maybe it's because I've just been in a bad mood all week, but the episode didn't really, you know, hit me as much. I will say that just having, like, watching it with my brain turned off, obviously it's really enjoyable. And it's a fun episode. And I'm not claiming that it's, you know, that it's bad by any means whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to use the F word with, you know, mm-hmm. that some fans like to throw around when an episode doesn't do what they want it to they do. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure that the episode, and don't blink if I'm right, since you've seen the other episodes, that in the next couple of episodes, there's going to be payoff to what happened in this one. And we're going to be like, oh, okay, this is why this makes sense and blah, 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 because, you know,
yes.
the writers of Bad Batch
are very purposeful.
They know what they're doing. They've proved it to us mm-hmm. a million mm-hmm. times, and it's going to be a million times and one this time. But I don't know. For me, the episode didn't land because, like you were saying at first, Nani, we've had such a dark season so far and so many slow, poignant episodes. And, you know, like the last two that were such a, you know, double whammy of like character growth yeah. and character study yeah. and then, you know, the obliteration of everything that we know was good in the world. I understand that you needed this episode to kind of be a palate cleanser and be, okay, let's just have like a fun romp to kind of reset yeah. everything and reset the board so that we can, you know, go into the end game. But I don't know. It felt short to me because I feel the problem that the season has been having as a role. It's a nitpick, but I feel like it's just spinning its wheels a little bit. It's, you know, the whole thing with the M counts and the mystery around it. It's frustrating like because we already know, you know, yeah. we like mm-hmm. the audience already yes. knows about all these things, and the characters mm-hmm. just keep asking the question about the thing. And I mean, it's like, I mean, as a, you know, as an audience member, it's a little frustrating to be seeing characters trying to figure out a thing that you already know. There's no mystery to that. Yeah. So that's a little frustrating to me. Hopefully there's like a plot twist that happens with that. It's like, oh, crap. Like, it's mm-hmm. I thought I knew, but I really didn't know type of thing. So we'll see about that. But then there's also the fact that the episode is so closely mirrored to The Believer from Mando Season 2. That it's a letdown because in terms of quality, The Believer is one of the top Mando episodes out there because of Bill Burr's character. I forgot the character's name now, but having like that, you know, sequence where he has to look into himself and see why he hates the Empire, why he's not just a mercenary, he's actually, you know, fighting against it and all those things. It's really good character development and really good to move the plot forward for this episode. So when you contrasted to what happened in this one, which is just you get sad boy mediocre Rampart and like kudos to the design team for giving that beard, because yeah, our boy looks more rugged and handsome, but he's still the same, you know, d-bag from season two. So I'm just mm-hmm. like, okay, no character growth, no nothing, like, we don't, there's, you know, he's still the same guy, nothing's different on the surface. So it's a little mm-hmm. frustrating, right? We literally are going to the past, and the past hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, there were like that funny moment when they just ragdoll him and just throw him like. But besides that, I don't know. The episode didn't land just because we're doing things that we've already seen this season that mm-hmm. have already happened as well. It's just like finding the guy, like you said, honey, finding mm-hmm. the guy yeah. to get the thing, to then find out where Omega is or what M-counts are. It's just like, okay, we've seen that three times already this season. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Kari, please, cheer me up. What am I missing? What am I missing? Please.
No. This is definitely a transition episode. And yeah. I think this season, the episodes that I've enjoyed the most are the ones where Omega has been in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's just like, again, the storytelling is so rich with her. We see her, you know, everything that she has to go through. We see her in real time, that character growth within her.
Yeah.
You know, even though she's a little kid, she's experiencing so much. Yeah. And then from last episode, getting her to actually sacrifice herself, knowing that that's the correct step to take. Omega has been like the super highlight of everything.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
And I think this episode, like you said, is just like a palate cleanser because those two last episodes were very heavy.
Oh yeah, and they were rough.
When I tell you, I saw that the first episode when we find out about the kids, I cried. Yes. I was so upset. Yeah. I was like, Hemlock, where's Darth Vader? I need you to go choke him out, please.
But that's the thing. Hemlock is so good as a villain that you can't doubt. Like, we can't go to Rampart. So I remember in season 1 and 2 when we have Rampart, but then now, Hemlock, you know.
Yeah, Rampart. I think now is like the class clown. He's just like you know, the jester.
He
always was. But I guess they just needed something to connect how they were gonna get to Tantas. They wanted to give us that moment with Crosshair where he missed. You know, putting the tracker, so it would give us that emotion of, oh my god, what are they gonna do now?
That hurt so much,
you know. I was like
devastating.
It was like right there, you know. But I think one of the things that I did enjoy about the episode was the fact that now we see Hunt, because the one Bad Batcher that I haven't really been enjoying from a long time is Hunter.
Yeah, we would agree.
I don't see him. And any like every other Batcher has had a character growth. You know, they Crosshair being like, you know, number one.
Oh
crazy. Tech had his in season 2, you know, of just being like robotic little Tech, just, you know, everything has to be, you know, very reasonable and stuff. And then all of a sudden now he's getting emotional and then obviously leading to his sacrifice and stuff. Even Wrecker being the silly one, the one that everybody thinks is the slow one, he's been the one that's been the voice of reason this season with Hunter, with Crosshair, like, no guys, you know, keeping everything together. But I think Hunter has been the one that he stayed consistent with, just the same way that he has always been. Like, everything has to be methodical and everything. No, but we can't do that. No, but, you know, everything is a problem. I think in this episode, though, we finally saw Hunter just like, you know what? We're just going to do this. Like, we're throwing everything out the window. Whatever needs to be done is going to be done. We don't need to be careful anymore. It's just whatever we need to do to get Omega, we're going to do it. And, you know, because thinking about taking Rampart out of, you know, like, to help him escape and stuff, that's very risky. And that's something that Hunter, I don't think, would have done, like, in the first season. Like, no, we have to think out the odds. And, you know, if this is going to work out and stuff. Right now, he's just like, yo, we're going. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then we get the whole, you know, again, we were missing that action. I guess they needed to give us that action. The action was pretty cool, too. We got the whole, you know, Fast and Furious thing going on and stuff. But, like I said, not my favorite episode either, just because I'm so enthralled with the storytelling, with what's going on with Omega and Intensive and stuff. You know, it's very, very interesting. But,
It's and then especially because those scenes in this episode with Omega and Tantis were so compelling, you were left like kind of wanting more of that. I think they could have done a little bit of a better job in balancing those Omega scenes with the action scenes, because the action sequences took over most of the episodes. And I think if you would have done it maybe more half and half, I would have enjoyed the episode a little bit more. But I mean, that's just me personally, because I know there are a lot of people that do enjoy the action-packed episodes, and we still have to remember this is Star Wars animation, and we're not necessarily, you know, the age group targeted here. We just love it anyway. But yeah, sometimes it can get depressing, and you know,
we need a little breather,
like, you know. And there were still so many things, because I'm aside from Omega, who's been a star, there's been so much great Crosshair as well, and I love that from the beginning he has become the one that really understands her now. And as soon as like Wrecker and Hunter were complaining, like, I can't believe you lost her again, or I can't believe she, like, she's caught again, and Crosshair's like, well, they were going to destroy this place and she stopped that from happening, so respect. And you know, she did it for everybody, and now it's our job to go find her, so just stop whining about what already happened and let's move forward. So I think there's a lot of really good Crosshair, especially him admitting that he hadn't said anything about Rampart because he's afraid of going back to Tantis. So as long as he didn't absolutely have to go back there, he would have never. But as soon as it's Omega's life on the line, then he was able to like come clean. And for somebody like him to admit his fears, especially to his brothers, is, I think, a huge step for Crosshair.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. No. That was a huge step for him. And then I think we finally see him getting his confidence back a little bit. Mm-hmm. When he did that shot, I was like, oh my God.
The magnetically sealed.
Yeah. I was like, yes.
I was like, oh my God, that was so badass. Yes, Crosshair, come back to us. I mean, you know, it's good. Like, again, we're seeing in such, even though we're seeing him get this confidence back in real time. Like, it hasn't been just like one episode to the next. Yeah, he's good. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm good.
I love that they're taking time, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. with him. We're getting to see, because we've seen it since the second season when he starts doubting, when he starts questioning, and stuff. And then especially with that episode last season with Mayday.
Yeah.
My boy Mayday. Rest in peace, honey.
Rest in peace.
Oh my God. That was like a huge step for him, you know? And then from that point on, just Crosshair just became amazing with the character growth. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I think maybe this is just like a selfish thing that I want from Crosshair, because we've seen all the other Batchers change their armor throughout the season from like how they had in season one. Then they put like the orange and the teal, and like they have kept customizing their armor to be, you know, like three clones from the Empire and the Republic. And Crosshair, obviously, you know, changed through his armor of his Imperial armor. And now he's reclaimed his Batch armor, but it's still the same way that it was in season one. So, like, I kind of want him to, after he gets fully healed and finally becomes a healed Crosshair, to go rescue Omega. Mm-hmm. I want him to not upgrade his armor, but, you know, change it. So he can change, so we can see that he's become like his new, blink twice if I'm right.
I'm trying to remember. I can't, but I want to
be like, you know, here's my new armor, because I'm a healed person. I've been baptized, and I'm you know, I'm coming from the.
It's always a transition, right? The change in the armor is them finally like, okay, this is that new era for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I mean, you know, it's a minor thing, because I think his character isn't diminished if he doesn't mm-hmm. upgrade his armor. I just think that, you know, it's always a visual cue of a character's growth when you mm-hmm. you know, or change either your hair or your clothes or something. It's a physical manifestation of your internal change. So and then he's matching his brothers. If he puts the teal and the orange on, he's like, okay, now we're the Bat Batch again.
I think it might be that they're it's like very symbolic that Wrecker and Hunter are very different to him, because he's still mm-hmm. not there yet with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's still not the Bad Batch again. You know, he's mm-hmm. just starting to get
because he was withholding information from them, so he was still not mm-hmm. being 100 with them. But
mm-hmm.
I think now he's back.
Yeah,
almost.
So it would be cool if there was that transition, like you said. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such a like a declaration of your like individuality, which has been taken from the clones from the beginning. So I think it'd be really cool to be able to see that.
And he has been the least individual, in the sense that he's been the mm-hmm. one that's more rank and file, sorry, and you know, following mm-hmm. order, good soldiers follow orders, and all good that orders. Stuff.
Yeah.
So he's always been like mm-hmm. that one. So for him to finally be like, no, you know, we're. When have we ever followed orders? You know, do the tech thing and be like, I'm finally breaking free and embracing my individuality. It's something that I want to see him do and not die. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Star Wars redemption arcs always end with someone dying. It's like, no, don't. Just let the man be happy.
Keep trying to redeem himself, you know. Keep doing.
Let him ride into the sunset. Let him, like, go farm somewhere. I don't know. And while to shift gears from the other most interesting character, Omega, one of the shortcomings that I felt the episode was, again, that it's showing us the same thing we already saw two episodes ago. Because in Identity Crisis, we had the whole beautiful kind of silent, well, I mean, it's not a silent episode, but for the most part, silent episode of Emery discovering the children in the white room, which, by the way, like, I didn't pick up last time that the children are, like, one has, like, one is red, one is green, and one is blue, and, like, that's, like, in digital art, the RGB colors, so the combination of all those colors unlock the whole plethora of the rainbow, and they're in a white room, so, like, having those three colors means that there's endless possibilities in terms of, like, what they can do together.
Cool.
So I'm just like, I don't know if that was intentional, but when I saw it on this episode, I'm like, oh, that would be really cool. That's the intention for them. But, yeah, when Emery, like, is dealing with them, it's a lot more poignant because it takes its time to see, like, the darkness of the situation that they're in. But when Omega sees them, again, like, yeah, we're supposed to feel the same thing, but we already felt it. So it's just like, it's, we're repeating those beats to a lesser satisfaction in my mind. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's. I just hope that the next three episodes are just like bam, bam, bam. It's just like nonstop. So
it's the end game we'll now.
It's Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange said so. So we'll see. I hope Rampart dies. You know, I hope he gets shot in the face, giving them what they need.
We don't care about him having a redemption arc.
Just in the first 2 minutes of next episode, she's like, oh, here's what you need. Bam, shot in the head.
Bye. Not going to miss
you. That's what I hope. I mean, I don't want to be glib about it. But, yeah.
No, he can go, even though he could die looking very good with his beard.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you can bad guys can be handsome too. It's like, it's fine. But they still gotta go.
He's a boring bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
He is.
He's like one of those handsome guy, finance bros, you know? That, you're handsome, but you have nothing to say. You have nothing to say. You have a trust fund. We get it. You have a trust fund from your parents. And like, there's nothing interesting about you.
That was it.
This is going to be an interesting portion now because we usually get into the speculation part of what's going to happen.
But you already know.
So let's turn this into a game. What would you have thought was going to happen if... Yeah.
What would you have thought?
Okay, so the only thing I'm going to say is that it is tense. It's gonna be like, again, we're gonna go back to the, oh my God, how are they gonna do this? What are they gonna do? I will say that I'm trying to wreck my mind of how are they gonna wrap this up? Because again, the only episode that I haven't seen is the final one.
The last one.
But, you know, with everything else that I've seen already, it's just like, especially as a 30-minute, you know, episode,
do we know that the final episode is 30 minutes or
I don't know. I'm assuming
because I would hope that the last episode's like an hour.
It should be,
especially since it's 15. The other seasons have been longer, right?
I think 16. Yeah, the other one.
Yeah, I think they were 16.
So maybe this is why this is 15 because this is gonna be a super episode.
16.
Yeah. I really hope it is. I'm really hoping it is because they need it to be long because of how the other episodes, you know, what's happening in the other two episodes. Because
it's a series finale, not a season finale. So you have to
wrap
everything up.
Yeah,
and I really hope they don't, because if they wrap that up super quick or just if they wrap it up in a certain way, I'm thinking, are they planning to do another show? You know,
serves as a continuation or something.
Spin off in another certain way, because again, I don't want to say too much but once you watch it, you understand why I'm saying.
Once you watch it,
you understand why I'm saying this.
It
is exciting again. I will say Omega again, super performance. Just perfect. She's so freaking smart and I am excited though because it's a lot. It's very emotional. That's for sure.
And you've gotten so close to the end, and now you have to wait.
I know.
You got the sooner, and now you have to wait longer.
Moment right now. It's like everybody's just catching up to me, and I just need the last episode.
Trying to see my okay. Yeah, no, it gets spicy. It definitely gets spicy. It's because now we're just planning and the escape and all that stuff. So it's now we're getting into like the nitty gritty with Omega and stuff. Again, the only thing is that I don't know how they're going to resolve.
Yeah, because like, the whole thing with the M count,
and you know what it is. You know, with Palpatine and all that going on, I don't know how they're going to resolve. And I really hope it's a long episode so they could actually.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially because I was surprised that there wasn't another double episode here at the end. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's strange. I would have really thought that the last, like, the end was going to be 15, 16 double episode. Mm-hmm. So
I figured there was going to be one more.
I think it's a good sign that it just like ends at 15 and they haven't actually told us the runtime. And it turns out that it is a longer episode.
Mm-hmm.
So here's hoping. But you were going to say something, Goose. Sorry, I interrupted you.
I forgot. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry if I'm looking to the side. I'm just looking at my notes from when I got. So I'm trying to.
Yeah. Oh, now I remember. With the notes that triggered me. That triggered my memory. Because I think that honestly, probably in my mind, they won't resolve the M count thing in a way that resolves it, so to speak, because.
Mm-hmm.
We know from Rise of, not from The Mandalorian, that they're still working on it.
They're still working on it, yeah.
So it has to be like, you know, they just, you know, Omega obviously gets away. Unless they kill her. Omega obviously gets away, so they can't continue their experiments. They probably destroy Mount Tantus, so it sets back the...
So it sets back the research.
So, yeah. Like, Nala Say is probably going to die, unfortunately. I hope not. But she's probably going to die, like, in the whole hustle and bustle of them. Doing the breakout at Mount Tantus, and I think Emery's gonna join the Bad Batch and be the new tech of the group. So now Hemlock, if he survives, and Project Necromancer now doesn't have any of the top scientists that knew what they were doing with all the
cloning
stuff
project,
or M-counts with Omega. So they're, you know, I think that's what's gonna happen on that front. But Nani, what other speculations do you have based on what this episode gave us? Which, frankly, it's not that much. But what do you?
No, it didn't give this episode.
It didn't give us much. I'm really hoping that because I think we had discussed with Crosshair that maybe he was going to find some other skill that would define him. Like maybe the sharpshooting was done and he needed to like adapt to something else. But clearly, he is kind of getting those skills back. And I think the fact that as he was talking about Tantus, he was like grabbing the hand that shakes and rubbing it, which is a sign that whatever happened in Tantus is what is causing,
Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. So it could be something that was actually physically done to him there while they were doing whatever training it was, or it's just, you know, psychological PTSD, something like that, which, you know, is equally or worse, you know, at damaging a person. So I think just the fact that he's admitting the fear, like I said already, and the fact that you were seeing that link between like what he has become to whatever was done to him in Tantus. The more he acknowledges that, I think the more he's going to be able to get those skills back. And I think we're going to see like badass sharpshooting Crosshair which would be really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about it a lot before too. I'm pretty sure we're going to get to see a lot of the characters that have been reintroduced in like an Avengers Assemble kind of moment with all these people like kind of coming back and helping out, because we know that there's so much linkage between what's happening with the Bad Batch Tantus and the Path and trying to save these Force sensitive children that I think it's like I'm worried about it, and you've already seen the next two episodes that because there's so many like storylines right now, because we have Project Necromancer, we have kind of, you know, the Path, trying to decide if the children, you know, kind of belong with their families or they should be trained, and choosing one way or the other. Omega herself and finding her identity, what she wants to be. Does she want to be a part of the Bad Batch? Does she want training? as a Jedi, or, you know, not necessarily a Jedi, but a Force user, because Asajj Ventress doesn't acknowledge herself as a Jedi either. And the Bad Batch itself, is their plan to stay together or go their separate ways? I mean, there's so many story beats right now that I don't know which one they're really gonna focus on and how many of them are gonna get resolved.
So, on top of, like, also what's gonna happen with all the clones in Tantive,
right?
You know, like, and then again, in the last episode, are we gonna get like crazy clones action? Like, all of them are gonna come out, and it's gonna be like a whole huge ass fight of clones again.
The last,
like,
the know, last clone war. Yes.
Yeah,
the last clone with clones.
One way out, baby. Yes.
Yes, one way out. Exactly.
The thing is also, I mean, even if they all escape, like, what happens to them now? Because most of them haven't had a chance to accept that, you know, they're no longer soldiers. They, you know, there's so much to question there, because we have known of some clone troopers that have been able to figure out a life outside all of this, but not all that many, actually, you know, and which ones kind of want to maybe join the efforts of the path, or, you know, Fulcrum, the rebellion, whichever way they want to do it, or if they actually feel okay just like going their separate ways and finding a life separate from the Empire, the Republic, and everything that's happening. So,
I mean, I really do want to know what was the story with the clones afterwards, you know, especially since a lot of them, like Wolf, is still with the Empire, but he's already like, okay,
questioning too.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them in the Empire are doing that right now. So what are they going to do? And then what are they going to do with the clones from Tantive? And what about the clones that were brainwashed and they're like Rambo clones now? You know, super clones.
I don't think it's a coincidence that we today, I don't know if it was a leak or an official announcement, that we're getting that book, Secrets of the Clone Troopers, or whatever the hell it's called.
Okay.
Which I'm just like, it can't be a coincidence that now they're coming out with a book exploring everything about clone troopers, when we're kind of wrapping up everything about clone troopers and the Bad Batch. So I would hope, I mean, I don't like to go to the casino, because I don't like to bet and lose money. But in this case, I would be very, very confident about betting on the clone trooper rebellion in Mount Tantive, and then taking over the facility and escaping. I hope that most of them
demonstrated time and time again that the clone troopers are way superior to the stormtroopers.
It's the thing that if they're in Tantive, unless they're the clone commandos, it's because they're they're in jail because their programming has worn out, so they're you know, rebelling against them. That's why they're there. I assume that they're ready to go. But one of the big questions I have is who Rampart was referring to, and he's like, oh, we need to get someone else that's the person that has like the access to Tantive. And I'm actually not sure about this, but after Rampart, and I've said it in a couple of episodes before, but I feel like after Rampart's reintroduction into the series with this week's episode, I feel like Cid makes sense again, because I'm just like, she knows stuff just like, you know, Fee knows stuff, and just, you know. And it would be a good way, I think, to like bring everyone back from seasons 1 and 2 to kind of like complete their arcs. Because I still was on the Cid needs to redeem herself thing, because she blinked twice if I'm right. She looked guilty.
Stop trying to fish for information.
I know. I'm fishing hard. It looked like she was guilty when she sold them out. So I feel like it's really weird to have like a main secondary character do that and then not address it at all. So I feel like this is a good opportunity to have her come back and be like, oh, redemption time, boys, and then just here's what you need to go save Omega. But who knows? At first, I always was thinking that in our Avengers Assembled moment in the last episode, Ventress was going to return, but actually I don't think that's going to happen anymore. I think that Ventress,
that's all we got for Ventress.
I feel that that's a backdoor pilot, just like Ahsoka was in Mandalorian in season 2, and they're just gonna spin off some show for Ventress, and the finale.
Which
just
I would be okay with, by the way.
That would be okay, 100%.
No, everything Ventress, please. Of course.
It's Ventress with the path, and then she runs into Obi-Wan. It's Quinlan Vos. It's Cal Kestis from the video games. I'm all in. I'm all in on that idea. So I think the finale is just gonna be clones. It's only clones.
Yeah. I think I will say that again, based with the other episodes, it's a very self-contained story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very self-contained. Yeah. That's why I'm very
how are they going to wrap this up?
That last episode, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's very self-contained. So in that last episode, is either going to be like, holy shit, they really brought all these people back, or it's just going to be like, okay, so where do we go from now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And which I have a feeling that they're probably going to give us more animated shows.
Which they absolutely should, because
they should.
They're gorgeous.
Lucasfilm has
they're
proven they that should. They
yes.
dominate.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And I think they will. They have to. They absolutely, because we still have a long way from that point to The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
There's a lot of story there that, you know, that has to, things that have to be solved or told, you know?
Yeah.
But I would hope, I mean, I love Clone Wars animation style, always have. I know Nani used to not like it.
The boxing.
I love it, but I feel like at this point we're ready to like have all, because that's, I think, what I really liked about a couple of years ago when it was Rebels, then we had Resistance, and they were like different animation styles. So I feel like right now they're just leaning really heavy on Clone Wars, which again, I love, but I'm also like, hey.
That's how they're doing it, because that's how they're doing it for Tales.
Exactly. So I'm just like, hey, maybe we can try a new animation style for a new era of storytelling. Not that we can't go back and do Clone Wars style, because,
they gave us Visions, and Visions gave us all these different animation styles, and we loved it. So of course, I mean, Star Wars can play with so much right now.
There's so much you can do.
Stars. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much you can do with animation, and I think Star Wars has been really shining in animation.
Mm-hmm.
So give me more. Yeah. I love me some cartoons.
Something I saw on Twitter a couple of days ago, our friend from the channel, Trey Mitchell, he made a post on Twitter saying like, oh, it's time for Star Wars to do another feature-length animated film and release it theatrically. Yeah. And I agree. It's like Star Wars animation has been so good lately that, especially now that we are like in this renaissance in film with animated films with like, you know, Spider-Verse and Pinocchio and like all these animated film, well, Pinocchio's like stop motion, but whatever, you know what I mean, that have, and to great acclaim, that I feel like it's time for Star Wars to come back and be like, hey, we have something to say too.
Do you think maybe it would be in a movie form that they'll give us, you know, anything else after Bad Batch? I would not be opposed to an animated movie. Like, you brought up,
as it started with a feature film, and then you kind of end the story of the clones with a animated film.
That would be wild if the ending of the Bad Batch, not necessarily a cliffhanger, but opens the door on something, and then it just very, very Marvel, it ends with the Bad Batch will return in cinema.
I think that would be great, because we still have such a long way until the next movie. The Mando and Grogu movie is
2025.
That's the next movie. So if they gave us an animated move, at least animated,
like in September or something.
Yes. That would be so
cool. That would be insane. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, considering how crazy the last 2 weeks have been with announcements.
Yo, dude, they're just like dropping stuff out of nowhere. Because nobody heard of Tales of the Empire.
Right.
Nobody even knew that anything was.
Here's
the
show. Here's this book. There you go. Here's the Acolyte.
Yeah.
Here's everything.
Well, even the trailer for the Acolyte. There's all these things that we were expecting to be announced on May the 4th that they've already announced. So what are they actually dropping? Aside from obviously we're getting the original films, but there's gonna have to be something huge on May the 4th that they're gonna have to announce. Because
it's
the
last episode of the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
So they gave us something like, remember like in Mando season 1 when they're like, oh, Book of Boba Fett. What? Like that would be freaking amazing. May 4th is gonna
It's gonna be insane.
I think it's gonna blow our minds this year.
I already have my tickets to go see episode 1.
Oh yeah.
So I'm very excited because obviously, I mean, one, I love episode 1, and two, it has the preview for the Acolyte. So I'm ready for that.
I'm not gonna watch it. I'm gonna walk out of the theater. I don't want to see it because I want to go into the Acolyte just like.
See, no. You're like me. I don't like watching trailers usually, and I don't like any of that. But I'm kind of forced because we talk about all these things here.
No pun intended.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it because like we talked about it. I know we've talked about the trailer already, but it's very much like what happened with Andor. They're doing with the Acolyte. That's like they're showing us the potential mm-hmm. without giving mm-hmm. pretty much any of the story away. So
yeah.
We're getting kind of the overtones of what it's going to be like, but we have no idea where the story's going. So I'm very, very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, ever since I saw the trailer at Celebration, it's blew my mind.
I mean, ever since they announced it, I'm just like, this seems like the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
And then we saw the trailer, and I was like, oh my God. Yes.
Well, first they released like the cast, and then yes. mm-hmm. yeah. So as soon as they released, I was like, wow.
I was like, this is one of the most sexiest casts Star Wars has ever had. Oh my God.
Thank God Star Wars is dead, right? Thank God it's dead.
Oh, right. Right.
Because if this is dead Star Wars, I kill me too. Kill me. I can be dead with it.
Zombies, let's go.
See?
But you know, it's one of these things. I thought this episode was gonna be very, very short because we wouldn't have like that much to talk about with a Juggernaut. But as always, you come through with us with positivity and energy and make us like see things we haven't seen and change our perspective and then like speculate a little bit about the future and not just the Bad Batch, but of Star Wars. So it's definitely been a really, really fun time, as always, you know, not your first time here and absolutely not the last time. But before we sign off, Kari, why don't you tell everyone like what you're up to, where people can find you on social media, all those good things.
Yeah, sure. Guys, I'm very active on Twitter and TikTok at Star Wars Tia, same name that I have right here, and on Instagram as well. I post there sometimes. And, you know, just I post a lot of Star Wars, but also any nerdy and old pop culture kind of content, Marvel, DC, anything that's like shows or movies that are coming out right now, I'll talk about everything. So, yeah.
Beautiful. And as always, we'll leave links so that people can find you down in the description below. So make sure to follow Kari's, a.k.a. Star Wars Tia, one of the best people out there in the Star Wars fandom. And that, not just because, you know, we shared a stage together on Star Wars Celebration.
Of course.
Generally one of the brightest forces of good out in fandom. So make sure to follow her.
Well, we love having you always over, Star Wars Tia. We are only, three episodes away from the end of the Bad Batch. Wow. Hopefully the last one is going to be long, so we get like an actual conclusion to the show that we are loving and are going to be really sad to see go. But there's still so many good, awesome Star Wars things coming up. So remember to like, subscribe, leave a message. Let us know what you're thinking so far of Star Wars. What's coming next? What's happening with the Bad Batch? And thank you so much again, Star Wars Tia, for joining us.
Thank you.
It's
guys.
Always
Gracias.
So fun to have
Gracias.
You. Claro que we're going to have you over todas las veces. And until next time.
Disponible, yes.
Claro. May the Force be with you.